Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. Italy, famous for pizza, pasta, fashion, and of course motor racing. The oldest track on the calendar is known as the Temple of Speed, and even though it's been slowed down a bit for safety reasons, she's still in magnificent shape. This is the 83rd Grand Prix staged at Monza, with the race dating all the way back to 1922. The setting is fantastic in a royal park complete with palazzo on the outskirts of Milan, and you can still see and visit the old banking and stands which were last used in 1961. So there's loads of history to soak up. The only true downforce track, Monza's the quickest of the lot. It's all about raw power here, with long, long straights and fast corners. There are 11 turns on its 5.793 lap. The race is 53 laps, a distance of 306.720 kilometres. If you're a spectator here, you're spoilt for choice when it comes to places to visit. Lake Como's just a short drive to the north, and the cultural delights and glamorous nightlife of Milan are just on the doorstep. On this edition of the podcast from Monza, we speak to both our drivers about their races. We chat to podcast regulars Christian Horner and David Coulthard. We talk Monza with local boy and team member Stefano Sordo. Plus, we hear from World Rally stars Mikko Hirvonen and Jarmo Lehtinen. First, let's find out more about this historic track. Laura spoke to Sebastian Buemi earlier this weekend.
Okay, so Sebastian, talk us through a lap of Monza.
Yeah, Monza is a really quick circuit, so obviously a very low downforce on the cars. You reach the highest speed of the year with around 350 kph, so really a strange circuit for the driver. You need to get used to the fact that the car feels really light because you have low downforce, and really long straight, big braking for the first chicane, then a very long straight again for the second part of the circuit with a big chicane as well. And then you have the second sector. This is an important bit in Monza because you need to find a good compromise between downforce and speed. If you have a lot of downforce, you're going to be really quick in the second and third sector, but slow in the first one. So at the end of the day, it's a really tricky thing to do because the setup is not easy to find, but you look at what the others are doing and then you try to just find the best compromise.
And is it one of your favorite circuits?
It's definitely one of my favorite because I think even if you don't qualify very well, you can come back in the race. There will be two DRS zone and you can pass on the straight really easily if you are quick enough. So it's definitely an interesting circuit, and always a lot of things happening here in Monza. So,
and on that note, we know that the Red Bull F1 spy has been following you this weekend for the Red Bull Racing Spy app. What kind of things has he seen you doing?
Obviously, you know, he was following me everywhere, speaking with the sponsors, with Infinity, spending time in the energy station. He followed me when I was arriving at the circuit, leaving, taking even a coffee. He definitely knows everywhere I go, and I think that's cool.
But you can't reveal to our listeners who he is?
No, I can't. But if you want to keep up with him, you can download the Red Bull Racing Spy on the App Store.
And can you just explain to us what race weekends entail for you?
As you know, we can't test anymore between the races, so the simulator is really important. Now, most of the team are having a very good simulator and testing a lot of things. So basically, I spend a lot of time there trying to improve the car, and then on a Saturday morning, I'm traveling to the circuit and attending all the briefing and doing some marketing events. So, you know, the Saturday, Sunday is just the easy part.
So you're certainly kept busy. And what's next for you after Italy?
I'll be back in a simulator, and then I will go to an event with our sponsor Infinity in south of France. Then I will go to a show run in Budapest, and then it's going to be Singapore.
And just as a last note, can you speak any Italian?
Yes, I can speak Italian, yeah.
Can you say a little message for our fans in Italian?
Buongiorno a tutti, quindi spero che potete fare il download della Red Bull Racing Spy su l'application iTunes e ci vediamo presto.
And for those of you who don't speak Italian, that means you can get all the behind the scenes action from the pit lane and the paddock with the Red Bull Racing Spy app. Get your hands on it from the Apple Store. As we've mentioned, Monza is a favourite amongst drivers because of its heritage and speed. It even attracts drivers from other racing sports. Katie caught up with Finnish World Rally stars Mikko Hirvonen and Jarmo Lehtinen.
Okay, so I'm here with Citroen World Rally Championship drivers Mikko and Jarmo. Is this your first time that you've been at a Formula One race?
Second time. I've been once in Abu Dhabi, I think it was 2 years ago, but I haven't seen Formula One so much, so it's quite kind of a nice to have a look, especially in Monza when it's so traditional race, so it's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great that you're now with the Red Bull family.
It's been really, really nice, yeah. I mean, you get to see different kinds of sports as well, so yeah, it's good.
And how's it going for you so far this season in the Rally Championship?
It's been alright. You know, we've been finding our place with the new team with Citroen and finding our pace and way with the car as well. So as a team, we've been really, really strong. So it's going well.
Yeah. Did you know Loeb very well before you joined the team?
In a way, I mean, we have been pretty close with all the drivers in rally. Like, we stop in the same places and just have a chat and always get along with him really well. So nothing has changed. He's still a really cool guy, even though he's now a teammate, but it's going really well.
Yeah. And Jarmo, great to see you here as well.
Thank you.
Have you been here before to a Formula One race?
Yeah, we do everything together, so I've been once in Abu Dhabi.
Mikko wouldn't be able to go anywhere without his co-driver to know where to be, what time.
Exactly like that.
How's it been for you since you joined Red Bull this year?
It's really, really interesting and motivating to see another way. We were so many years with Ford and now it's been just fascinating. Every day is like a really motivating wake-up call to see how the new team works and learning a lot of new things. It's been a very positive move.
And we saw that Kubica, apparently I read in the news that he had a go in a rally car recently, which is great news. But how would you fancy having a go in a Formula One car, Mikko?
I would like to go and give it a try. I wouldn't say that I would be really good at it, but just to see how it really works, even see if I can get it moving. But, you know, it would be nice to try.
And what is it you most want to get from today? Is it just that you're hanging out to watch the Formula One, or is it something you want to learn from today as well?
I really just want to enjoy the race.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere what is here in Monza, so we're just going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Same for you, Jarmo?
Yeah, it's nice to see a traditional track like Monza. Never been here before, so I'm really looking forward to see the race.
So from here you go to Wales for Rally GB. How's that going to be?
Well, fly tomorrow to Wales and then drive in the middle of North Wales, basically, and start reconnaissance time from there. And then it's a normal rally week. Tuesday, Wednesday, a little bit of getting familiar with the roads, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, attack, flat out.
And is it one of your favourite rallies?
Definitely, yes. It's nice and flowing. Reminds me a little bit of Finland, so it's going to be a high-speed action next weekend.
Well, best of luck, and I hope you have a great day today.
Thank you.
This is a track, like many, David Coulthard holds close to his heart. Laura spoke to him earlier this weekend.
Okay, so David, start by telling us what you've been up to since Spa.
Well, busy time since Spa. It's only been a week, but been back in the UK filming a feature with Adrian Newey, focusing on his amazing results and his time in Formula One. You know, three different Grand Prix teams, over 100 Grand Prix victories. And of course, now he finds himself driving last year's Red Bull Formula One car, which is the first time he's actually had an opportunity to drive a proper single-seater. Did a fantastic job, no big surprises. He's a hobby racer in GT racing and historics. And then I had the chance to sample the Formula One car myself, which is always nice, just to see how the cars have progressed since I stopped in 2008. And then back here down to Monza for the Italian Grand Prix.
Who was the better driver out of you and Adrian?
Well, in terms of experience, that has to be me, of course. In terms of commitment to the challenge right now, I have to say that was Adrian, because he was really on it on the second lap. And I think maybe my experience over the years of how easy it is to drop one of these cars meant that I took a more cautious approach.
And on to Monza then. So compared to other tracks, how well adapted to Monza conditions do you think the RB8 is?
Well, there remains to be seen. Spa, I think we saw a fantastic comeback from Sebastian, from 12th place at the end of the safety car period to finishing second. and arguably he had the quickest car during that Grand Prix. It remains to be seen just, of course, what Jenson Button might have done had he been pushed earlier in the race. But coming into Spa, this is historically a track that really rewards top-end speed. Horsepower, of course, is premium because most of the track is actually straight line. Few big braking areas into the chicanes, but there's four areas where you're over 200 miles an hour. This is a Grand Prix that Red Bull were able to win last year. But I think that you have to say, off the back of Spa, McLaren have to be considered a threat. Who knows with Monza? Historically, they've always been able to pull something out of the bag here.
And finally, can you treat us to your best chat-up line in Italian?
I used to be a Grand Prix driver.
Okay.
But that's not in Italian because I don't speak Italian.
Can you do an Italian accent then?
No, I can't. I can say bellissimo, tutto bene. What else can I say? Not a lot, quite frankly. I always have been a man of action rather than words.
Brilliant. We'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by all accounts, you do very well with your actions, David. On to the race now here at Monza, and it was the first non-point scoring race for Red Bull Racing since Korea back in 2010. Sebastian suffered an alternator failure on lap 50 and Mark retired two laps later due to a loss of grip. McLaren's Lewis Hamilton took the checkered flag and he was joined on the podium by Sergio Perez and Fernando Alonso. Here are Vettel and Webber after the race.
I think we lost some points today. Obviously we didn't finish. It doesn't help if the others are finishing. All in all, I think we were more or less where we deserve to be. So, yeah, I think we did the best we could. We could see that, pace was not as strong as the leaders. So, it was in any way a good race for us, given, the lack of pace here. We're here for the challenge. All in all, last week we had a good race. This week we didn't. So, it's still a long way ahead of us and there's a lot of points to get.
At the end, I had actually no rear tyres left and pushing reasonably hard. Obviously Nico was coming on his fresh two-stop tyres, so I had to keep pushing and staying on it, and for the sake of obviously getting a couple of points, maybe I should also good. Maybe not push as hard, but I was trying to stay on it, and the rear tyres were completely finished, so I dropped it out of Ascari, managed to keep it off the wall, and then the tyres were that heavily flat spotted. I might as well retire. I was worried about obviously damaging the car when you do 330k an hour around here. I couldn't see the track, so might as well retire. It was a poor day for us, the team. I'm not sure the last time we had a double retirement, so we put ourselves right on the back foot today with the I don't know, probably the worst start since Melbourne. So look at that. Got most of the first stint, tried to get myself back into it, and then it wasn't looking ridiculous. But then we were exposed at the end, and that was it.
At Red Bull Racing, we are blessed with a Monza local who also happens to be our aero performance team leader. Katie spoke to Stefano Sodo to find out about his Monza memories.
Thanks for joining us, Steph. Can you just tell us what it is that you do for the team?
I'm aero performance team leader. So basically, myself and my group are looking at the aero performance of the car. Main role is try to understand what the car does on track from an aerodynamic point of view, if the car behaves as expected, and if not, try to understand why.
And you used to be David's race engineer, didn't you?
Yes, 2005. I used to be David's engineer. A very good experience because he came from McLaren at the time, and at the time we were a fairly small team, and I think he helped us taking the team to a higher level, obviously coming from a world championship team, so it was a very, very good experience. I learned a lot from him.
And we can hear an Italian twang to your very good English, and I understand you have quite an affiliation with the Monza circuit where we are. Just tell us a little bit about that.
I actually born in Milan, but I grew up in a little village outside Monza called Lesmo, which gave the name to the two corners of the circuit. So I grew up in this area. I obviously passionate about motorsport, so being so close to the circuit, I used to come every single Grand Prix since 1978 up until when I left to go to England, and then I came back as working in motorsport. So it's lots of very good memories here around the circuit.
Just tell us of that first memory of Monza.
I was obviously very young. Don't tell you how young I was. But I was on my father's shoulder, and I remember I was in Parabolica, and I just have got some flashback of cars pass in front of me, but they were, they looked to me very quick and I couldn't see very well. But at the time it was obviously very easy to get into the paddock. It's not like these days. So we got into the paddock and I remember sitting on a rear tires of a Williams car and getting an autograph from Frank Williams.
Okay.
And also, if you go outside the circuit, there are lots of little places that they do food for the spectator. And I remember sitting down, myself, my sister, my father and my mother having a nice plate of pasta.
Ah.
So yeah, long time ago now.
And when Sebastian got his win last year, you went up onto the podium, so just tell us how that must have felt.
Yeah, that was obviously incredible experience. I remember many years of being underneath the podium, watching the drivers and obviously never hoped to be there one day, but it's just an amazing feeling. And the good thing about it is that my father was underneath the podium as well. And
when you were up there?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I actually found him a pass at the last minute on Sunday, and I said, get in, and he wasn't sure, and then he came, and I'm glad he came so he could see. We've been together since that 78, and 33 years on, I was on the podium, and he was underneath the podium watching me, so yeah, very special.
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah, and my daughter, obviously, she was in England with my wife and they watched me on television. And yeah, that was really, really good experience.
Now, we're very lucky to have a former racing driver as our chief of garage tours. David spoke to Charlie Snezhnik before the race to get his thoughts on Monza.
So, Charlie, I wonder if you could tell me a bit about Monza and why it's special. And you've raced here and you've worked here as part of the Red Bull marketing team. Just tell us a bit about why it is that Monza is a special place.
It is the special atmosphere that you just feel when you come towards the park. It is actually the location. You drive into a real park. There is a chateau which goes back to the Renaissance. And then you see these huge trees, the forest, the meadows, then there is a golf course inside, and there also is a racetrack, and the racetrack which has a lot of history to tell. So Monza is, I think everyone knows the name Monza.
It's a strange place because it's got the modern day track and then the old track with the banking, and it's, we see that sometimes on the television. Which track did you race on? Is it the modern one or the banking one?
What are you asking me, David? I'm not that old. Yes, I raced here at Monza, but the banking was stopped at around the early 60s, mid-60s, because it just became too dangerous. If you then think back to the days where Caracciola, Fangio, Sterling Moss, Nuvolari, Ascari, they all went through the banking. So you could go through the banking flat out, and when you stayed there, actually, perhaps one day you have the possibility, you would be just astonished how steep it really is. It's unbelievable. No, we didn't race there.
My apologies. Tell us a bit about racing, though, because the track, it's those incredibly long straights and then slightly banked parabolicas. What's it like to drive on?
Well, it's just flat out. You try to go as flat out as possible. So the corners are you have now, when we were racing, we had the, not the first chicane. We just went more or less into flat out into this right-hand corner with a massive speed. Well, in Formula 3 you do about 260, 270, which is quite quick. Monza is the fastest race in the calendar. It's the average speed is above 250, 255. So they are travelling, really.
But all those long straights and not taking your foot off, does it ever get dull, or is it just, when you're sitting there on the straight, is it an interesting track to drive around?
For a racing driver, it is interesting, yes, because trying to get and to carry as much speed through the corner, so as a racing driver, you never feel bored. You're really fighting against each chicane. Your goal is always trying to find the latest braking point. Where do I start braking? Reducing from 270, let's say, to 280. If I brake too early, then the guy behind me just boom, and that was it. So that is your goal. And then, of course, you're always trying to find the entry speed when you turn in for the corner. as much that the car comes into a very, very gentle sliding process. So this is the absolute limit. You can't go any faster, and that's the reason why we don't have any tachometer in the car. You don't need to know how fast you are, because when you take it to the limit and the car starts, the tires start losing grip, very gently, not too much, because then it's a negative. But this is what makes it so special. This is why your adrenaline just poof goes into your brain, which makes you addicted to this sport.
Looking forward to the race this afternoon?
Of course I do, yes, always. It's for us, so although we have been around for quite a few years, it is always interesting. Otherwise we wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be here if you would just do it because it's a job, and you would stop after 2 years.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, welcome. Thank you.
I think you might have offended him a bit with one of your questions there, David. Final word on what has been a tough weekend goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie got his thoughts after the race.
Christian, how much before Sebastian actually stopped the car did you know that there was a problem?
We knew about lap 36, so he stopped the car on with six to go on lap 47, so about 10-11 laps. We could see the temperatures on the alternator starting to increase, and unfortunately when it starts to do that, it's usually a bit of a giveaway that something's going to give up. And unfortunately, despite getting within six laps of the end, we had a repeat failure from what we saw on Friday, which looks an identical issue to what affected us in Valencia.
It must be incredibly frustrating on the pit wall, because you're watching the data, I suppose, but there's not really a huge amount you can do at that point.
Yeah, no, it's hugely frustrating. You're just hoping that it's going to somehow miraculously mend itself. But it hovered around a stable temperature for four or five laps, and then bang, just unfortunately went. And at that point, the instructions given very quickly to the car to say, turn the car off, because obviously the battery will then die, and then you can start to damage the engine, which, thankfully it doesn't look like we've done.
And then what happened with Mark?
Mark was a difficult one, really. I mean, from around lap 36, he started to get around a bit more wheel spin, and he was pushing hard, and I think the tyres just reached that sort of critical phase, and he was obviously pushing very hard to stay ahead of Rosberg, and made a mistake coming out of Ascari, a very high speed spin that then puts a flat spot on the tyre, that then you pick up a huge vibration, and as a result of which we decided to retire the car for safety reasons.
And failures and incidents aside, was the pace that we had here, was that sort of where we expected to be, because we don't really suit this type of circuit, and then going forward we expect a better race pace, or what's your feeling about that?
Well, I thought we looked a bit better in the race today. Obviously qualifying was tough yesterday. We've been weak here this year. We need to understand why, we need to learn from it, and address it moving forward. But it's exposed our weaknesses here. You spend 85% of the lap flat out. We've struggled in straight lines, and that's hit us quite hard. But nonetheless, we were still on for a reasonable points finish, particularly with Sebastian. And it's very disappointing when you end up with a double DNF, our first non-point score for pretty much 2 years since career in 2010.
And then what does this mean for the next race in Singapore?
It just means we've got to dig deep, focus hard, focus on the next event, focus on where we were weak, try and learn from it, and work hard to be better. And we're still right in this championship.
Still leading.
We're leading the constructors by 19 points, but we're the drivers as well. We're 3 points closer, to Fernando than we were before Spa. So there's everything to play for. There's over 170 points still available, and we just got to go for it.
And very quick one, from a personal point of view, what's your favourite race out of the ones remaining this season?
The ones you do well at.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. We are now done with the European leg of the season, and what awaits us now are 7 flyaways. It's a night race next as we head for the Singapore Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care.